Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome everyone for another Wednesday night nightcap Bible study with Wendy Lee Tucker, yours truly. Here I am in the hen's pen, and tonight we are going to continue our journey through the study guide called The Awesome Plan of God, my favorite of all study guides that were written by Daniel Leo Hall, of course, totally Holy Spirit-driven writing going on here, straight from the Bible, straight from the Word. And we are actually doing my favorite chapter tonight in this entire book. Well, one of two. The Mystery, too, is also my favorite chapter. But this is chapter four, The Gospel of Grace of Jesus Christ. The best news, the true good news. And it's, you're going to see as we get into this why I love it so much. Before we get started, let's take care of a little business. Remember to go to www.blogtalkradio.com/the Hen's Pen Show Outreach Ministry. And that is where we are right now. And if you click on that little waterfall, it will give you a bunch of places to go. Episodes is where you will have previously recorded shows, studies. So please check that out. We finished Pure Grace. So you have a whole book of studies there that we did from our wonderful Word. And also, if you go to www.greattribulationministries.org, there is where you will see all of the study guides up that you can either get on Amazon or that you can download for free off the website. There's studies, the Revelation study, that's a six CD audio free study you can listen to straight from the website. Then there's Spiritual Warfare. Check that out too. And also we have for you Critical Truths You Need to Know But Will Never Hear About in Church, that you need to check that out. That's a 30-page study guide. And it really, basically, these study guides just put you in the Word. They give you a subject, and then it puts you in the Word. And that's something that we need to be able to apply the Bible to our daily lives. And that is where the Holy Spirit kicks in with these talented writers like Pastor Daniel Leo Hall, amongst many that we have that our Lord has provided us with. So also remember to go to Facebook. We have the Hen's Pen Show page. Also, we have Daniel Lee Earl Hall's page. And just check all that out, you guys, because Sunshine Girl works really hard to put a lot of information up for you there, so that it's easier for you to get into your studies. You don't have to do the searching. Somebody else has done it for you. Anyways, let's get started by taking it to the throne. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, so very much, for this wonderful privilege that you've given me to be able to share the gospel of truth, the gospel of grace, your gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that we're given the opportunity, because we know that in many places it is just not possible for people to do what we're doing. And we know that there are people dying right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray your Holy Spirit is with them, and we know that they know where they're going. And so, Father, we just pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done more than anything. But until then, Father, we just pray that these studies make it to the right ears, that they are blessing people who truly want to know who you are and what your awesome plan is and what your son's awesome plan is, and what he's done for us and what it means, because so many people don't know what the death, burial, and resurrection actually truly mean. So, Father, we just pray that we're able to do that through you, and that you will bless this study. And I do this in the name and the power of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, my Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay, let me just shut this door here. All righty, you guys, I am puppy sitting, and they're having a blast out there. I'm in puppy land tonight. Anyways, today we are going to the Gospel of Grace of Jesus Christ. And before I start, you know, God has a reason for everything. And sometimes we do things and we don't realize until weeks or months later why we did it and how it benefited us. And I skipped reading the prologue C, The Biker and the Rainbow. Something told me to wait. And I know now it was the Holy Spirit, because as I was reading my study today, I realized how much this really applies to this next chapter because of who our God is and what he does unwittingly. And so this story is a true story. It's about Pastor Dan. It's real short. I'll just read it to you real quick. It's called The Biker and the Rainbird. I can really relate to the Rainbird part. Later on, I'll tell you that story sometime. So it's called Prologue C, The Biker and the Rainbird. God is in control of every molecule in the universe. If it were not so, he would not be omnipotent, almighty, but he is. In our lifetime, God has intervened many times. If you don't agree, just ask Jonah. The book of Job, God tells us that he even controls our every breath. Job chapter 12, verse 10, you look at that. The problem is that in most cases, we are not remotely aware of such intervention. This is illustrated by what occurred one day while driving in Walnut Grove, California. Living along the Sacramento River in the midst of Sacramento Valley farmland, there are many old mansions and gardens. One particular garden has a number of large rainbird sprinklers directly next to the river road. One summer day, on my way to the post office, as I approached the corner, thud, a large splash of water hit my windshield and inundated my car. Fortunately, I had my window up, or I would have received a second shower for the day. Since this was the second time in a week that this stuck blasting into the highway, both times making me a victim, I went back to find someone to fix the problem. I soon found a gardener, and even though he did not speak English, we communicated enough to get him to fix the sprinkler. I went up to the post office and picked up my mail for the day. Upon my return, just ahead of me was a biker. Now, this was no ordinary motorcyclist. This was a biker. He had a Harley Davidson, which is a hog, which has no windshield or protection or any of any kind, especially if you're not on a police cruiser Harley. I threw that in there, Pastor. As we turned the corner, there was no large rainbird watering the road, and even the water on the road was dried. The biker buzzed right around that corner and was on his merry way. The man had no idea of what I had done for him, nor will he ever know what I had did for him. He obviously was oblivious and likely will be for all eternity. Even if he reads this book, he would not likely know that it was him. The point of this is that God pours out his love on us every day. He comes into our lives protecting us, blessing us, and we are not even cognizant of the 99.9% of such interventions. Remember, if you know anything about motorcycles, you don't want to turn a corner and hit a puddle, especially if it's a pothole. You're going down. This book is an intervention into your life, not by me, not by Pastor, but by our Lord, and sharing with you his great love, his grace, his concern, his wonderful plan for all who hear his voice and offer his eternal salvation to you. May you receive him, acknowledge his intervention, and believe his grace and truth. Okay, so, you know, you never know. Something somebody did before you got somewhere may have benefited you. And these are the things about God that we don't know that he does for us. The way things turn out, sometimes we pray for things and our prayers aren't answered and we think, oh, but God didn't answer my prayer. But then later on we're like, oh, God, he didn't answer my prayer. So thank God for unanswered prayers. because God knows what's best for us. And in the end, we get what we, what is best for us. So here we are. Oops, wrong page. Almost started on chapter 2. We are on my favorite chapter, Wendy. Let's go. Chapter 4, the gospel of grace of Jesus Christ. The God of pure grace. This is Pastor Dan. He's going to give us a little Hebrew lesson, and I like the way he does this. So this is Pastor Dan speaking through his books. Growing up, I thought that grace was some lady who lived down the road. The word grace in Hebrew, chen in Greek, it's chen in Hebrew, and in Greek it's charis. It appears 166 times in the pure word of God. It is basically charity. That's where the Greek word charis comes from in the Hebrew word chen. Charity, a free gift or benefit, favor, and blessing. So one more time, in Hebrew, charity is chen, and in Greek, it's charis. The root meaning of the Hebrew word is beauty or favor. The root meaning of the Greek word is to rejoice, to be cheerful, and is foundational to the words charisma and charismatic. So in the Hebrew, it is beauty or favor, and in the Greek, it is to rejoice and be cheerful. God's pure grace is beyond human comprehension. When we provide charity in the flesh, we have some underlying motive and strings attached to our good deeds. The pure grace of God is unmerited, unearned, and undeserved favor, blessings, kindness, mercy, forgiveness, and love. The only real grace is sovereign grace from God. And we'll find that at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And you know what? We're going to look that up because that is a very important scripture. So we're going to do that. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And this is what it says. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, and strengthen, and settle you. This is one of our promises of our God because of his grace. God's pure grace of all the gifts, of all God's gifts, his grace, as expressed in the person of Jesus Christ, is his greatest love gift of them all. The Apostle John said that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And that is John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. By God's grace through Jesus Christ, he accomplished all things in our behalf. All gifts from God are by means of his grace, including forgiveness, redemption, reconciliation, justification, sanctification, regeneration, and eternal life. Number one, grace is a free gift from God, but only through Jesus Christ. We stand in this grace. Paul said at Romans chapter 5, my favorite book, verses 1, 2, and 15, he said, through him, Christ, we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by that grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Number two, we have grace in abundance. Romans chapter 5, verses 17 and 20. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. That's Romans 5, 17 and 20. Romans 6, 14, we cannot be under both law and grace because it says you are not under law, but under grace. Number four, we cannot earn grace. because at Romans 11:6 it says, if it is by grace, then it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. 2 Corinthians 9:14 for number 5 is, God's grace is in us. And you find that at 2 Corinthians 9:14, that the surpassing grace of God in you. Okay? Number 6, the grace of Jesus Christ is the grace of God. We are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. That's Acts 15:11. Paul opened and closed nearly every letter with this phrase, may the grace and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Number 8, God is the only source of real grace. And that's 1 Peter 5:10 where it says, the God of all grace. Number 9, we grow in the grace of God. That's 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Number 10, we are to minister to one another as good. I love this one. 1 Peter 4:10, stewards of the manifold grace of God. I'm going to repeat that one because that's really what we need more of today. We are to minister to one another as good. That's 1 Peter 4:10, stewards of the manifold grace of God. Number 11, the Bible's last verse, God is still emphasizing his grace. It's in Revelation 22:21 where it says, the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all the saints. Amen. Number 12, Paul said at Galatians 5:4, you who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. Oof, that's strong, isn't it? Grace and flesh works are diametrically opposed to each other, just as the spirit and the flesh are opposed. So, our flesh works, works of law, are opposed to God. At John 3:6, Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. And remember, you guys, you are only born of the spirit when you have become one with Christ, the death, burial, the resurrection. Okay, that's where that's coming in. You are born of spirit when you are reborn. Paul said at Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusts after the spirit, and the spirit against, the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. Go get yourself some oil and water and put them in the same jar. And you shake and shake and shake, and you shake until you can't shake no more, and you will never combine those two. That would be the same with the spirit and the flesh. They cannot be together. So once again, flesh is flesh and spirit is spirit, and the two cannot be blended. When we read God's word, we will either view it from the standpoint of legalism or the standpoint of grace. If we attempt to read the Bible purely from the standpoint of flesh laws, we will not understand God's word because it is spiritual and comes from the God of pure grace. You understand that? I'm going to repeat that. If we attempt to read the Bible purely from the standpoint of flesh laws, we will not understand God's word because it is spiritual and comes from the God of pure grace. Peter said that no prophecy of Scripture springs from any private interpretation. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. To understand the word of God, we must have the spirit of Christ. Remember I said that earlier. We have to have Christ in us, you guys. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit is not there, and he will not teach. He cannot teach us if he's not in us. So in Romans chapter 8, 9, the Spirit of Christ, which is the Spirit of God, okay? We must have the Spirit of Christ. If not, we don't belong to him and we cannot ascertain the truth of God's word. And that's 1 Corinthians 2:14. If you are not sure that you have God's Holy Spirit, then pray for God to send the Holy Spirit. He is faithful and he will not send a delusion or a demon. He will send the Holy Spirit. And that's Luke 11:13. And you know what? Let's look that up because I think it's important that, especially coming from a cult, and in the cult that I was in, which was the Jehovah's Witness cult, we were told we didn't receive the Holy Spirit, that we had to just get instruction from the Holy Spirit when we went to the Kingdom Hall. And we know that that's craziness. And we also know that I lost my place here. Okay, Luke 11:13. All right, Luke 11:13. So, yeah, can you imagine that? Not having the Holy Spirit, and then we're expected to understand the Bible. Yeah, that makes a bunch of sense. So 11:13 says, I'm sorry, you guys. Luke 11:13, these old eyes. And it says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's awesome. Right from the word. Ask, you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Of course, you better mean it because then you won't. You can't fool God. Just remember that. By properly identifying the context of Scripture, checking the word meaning, allowing the word of God to interpret itself, hello, and viewing God's word from his standpoint of grace, the Holy Spirit will teach us all truth regarding his purpose and his plan. Okay, now we're moving on to part B, the pure grace gospel of Jesus Christ. Gospel means good news. There is no good news greater than the gospel of Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ, which is that we are saved by believing and receiving the gospel of Christ, which is his death, burial, and resurrection. This is the only true gospel, and there is power in this gospel. You need to know where that is. That is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. The Apostle Paul told us that if anyone preached any other gospel, to let him be accursed. He profoundly stated, and I love this this chapter because as a former Jehovah's Witness, this one slaps us right in the face. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away from him who called you in the grace of Jesus Christ to a different gospel. That's Galatians chapter 1, 6 through 9. The other gospel was not a gospel at all, and it was not good news. The only true and pure gospel is the gospel of grace, pure grace. It involves the works to earn anything from God, then it's false. If you have to work for it, you are in the wrong place. Get out of that kingdom hall. Get out of that church. Get out of that temple. Where if somebody is saying that you have to do, then you need to leave. Okay? It's a false gospel. That's straight from the Bible. I enjoy sharing with new ones the Lord and how Christianity is not a religion. That is so true. It is not. It is a relationship. It is not a specific form of worship. Remember that. It is a relationship with the God of the universe through Jesus Christ. Remember, we did that chapter on bridging the gap of infinity, and that's how we were able to have this relationship, okay? So most understand this vital truth and that the salvation is grace through faith in Jesus, and that's Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. But there are some issues which they struggle. First, So many are troubled with questions of their personal standing before God and maintaining their salvation. Second, they are plagued with guilt over their past sins, current sins, and the prospect of future sins. Third, they are afraid that they are not doing enough. Remember that do-do word? They are afraid they are not doing enough to receive God's favor and continued acceptance. These are all lies of the devil, you guys. Fourth, they tend to compare themselves with others whom they perceive as better and more active Christians. Let me just get this computer. Check it up. There we are. When I tell them that salvation is maintenance free, anytime I speak to somebody or pastor, they don't understand it, but they accept it. And then when I ask them, would you really want to worship a God who needs your help? That kind of clarifies it. When I explain to them that Jesus paid for all our sins, and at that time he did that our sins were all in the future, though they can hardly fathom that concept, they are encouraged by this truth. So think about that. Our God did this so long ago, dying on the cross, a horrific death, to pay for our sins, past, present, and future. I like to reassure them that no one has a leg up on anyone else. I don't care if you're a minister, a pastor, or whoever you are. It doesn't matter how well you know your Bible. You are no more special to God. If anything, you are more liable for what you say. You need to be very careful as a minister what comes out of your mouth. It has to be straight from the Word of God. Anyone else and all that have believed in Jesus Christ and received him, we all stand exactly the same before God. But what stops them is this pure grace. You mean I can go do whatever I want and not lose my salvation? You ever hear that from people that don't understand the Bible? They'll say that in a negative way towards the Bible. This reflects that they, as new Christians, actually do not understand God's grace and salvation, and law does not prevent sin. Only God's grace and his Spirit in us are impediments to sin in the flesh. All who are saved still sin in the flesh. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 7 and 8. Paul dealt with this question at Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. It is true that if someone claims to believe in Christ, then leads a debauched life, that there is the possibility that they were never really sealed in Christ and they were never really saved in the first place. I call that a willful sinner. Many don't understand pure grace and what it means to live, walk, stand, and grow in the grace of God. Some forget that God abhors sin and that there is a great price that must be paid in the flesh for sins in the flesh. And you know, I could pause right here and give you an example. Adultery. It's rampant. Marriage is not respected the way it used to be. And what happens? A family gets destroyed. Somebody could get pregnant, somebody could catch a disease, anything could happen. Somebody could commit suicide, finding out their spouse is cheating on them, or their children could turn on them. Those are all payments in the flesh of sins in the flesh. Doing drugs, you could overdose. Your health, you know, there's just so many ramifications for the things that we do. We pay in the flesh, and when we have the Holy Spirit, we get convicted, trust me. And we'll get into that later. So when it comes to accepting pure grace, most will struggle with this concept. Human reasoning tells us that even if God has saved us by his grace, that we must have to do something and that we certainly have to maintain good behavior for God to continue to accept and not reject us in the future. But salvation, folks, is not a behavioral issue. It is actually our bad behavior, being sinners, hello, that qualifies us for God's grace. The first thing to establish is that everything about God is pure, including his grace, which is pure grace. There is no other kind. Attempting to blend God's pure grace with man's good works is like trying to blend, once again, the oil and water. And what do you get? Foam. Useless foam. It's John 3:17. Our flesh has the natural tendency to perform. The natural man wants to stand out, to look better and better than others. Our flesh wants God to love us best. Your mother may have liked you best, but God loves all of his children the same. John 17:23. Our best deeds are filthy rags to God. So don't try, you guys. That's Isaiah 64:6. Do you think that God wishes to mix our filthy rags with his pure grace? I doubt that. For years, I have been saying that if God gave me just one thing to do towards my salvation, I would mess it up. And I recently realized that this was truth. It was proven by Adam, because guess what? He was perfect, and they both screwed it up. If we are able to accomplish one thing towards our salvation, 1 trillionth of 1 billionth of 1 millionth of 1%, God's grace would be gone. God will not allow his grace to be adulterated with one drop of our flesh works. This is not a team effort, and God is not our co-pilot. If God allowed us to share in his salvation process, he would be setting himself up for failure. And guess what? We know our God never fails. 1 Corinthians 13:8. 1 John 4:8. If we were required to do one thing, then Jesus left something undone. Remember this absolute fact. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection are sufficient. The Apostle Paul clearly showed us our salvation is of grace. In Romans chapter 11, verse 6, it says, if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. There is no such thing as cheap grace. The greatest price ever paid was paid by God to supply you with his grace. All the glory, praise, honor, and worship goes to our God and our Lord. If you want to begin to experience the grace of our Lord and Savior, if you want to understand how he takes our sins from us, washes them away from us, all you have to do is call out to Jesus and ask him to be your Savior. It's a simple prayer. It's a simple conversation with your Creator. If you are not saved, if you are not a born-again Christian, then that means you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is a free offer that he is giving you, that if you believe in him, that he died and was resurrected, if you believe that his death on the cross, his shedding of blood paid for your sins, and that it was the only payment that could have ever excused our sins, and that it is the only payment that will ever be necessary, that there are no works that we could do because our Lord Jesus Christ did it all. Do you believe that? Then ask Jesus to come into your life, to be the Lord of your life, and ask him to send the Holy Spirit, because there is where it begins. There is where the actual relationship begins. When you pray to Jesus and you ask for the Holy Spirit to come into your life, to teach you all things, to ask Jesus to send the Holy Spirit because that is his part, he will. If you mean it from your heart, then you will receive it and you will believe it. And it will become a part of your life, and the relationship that you will gain with Jesus Christ will teach you all things. When you read the Bible, you will begin to understand things. You will be able to work out words. You will be able to understand his plan and how simple it actually is. And in fact, it's so simple that it's crazy simple. So just pray to our Lord and Savior. And remember, you can write me at Casey Jones, CaseyJones, the number 4 and the word ever, at yahoo.com. And if you can write me, I will love to pray for you. Send me your number. I can call you. We can pray together. If you want to receive the Lord with someone over the phone, pray with someone over the phone. Anything that we can do here at the Hen's Pen, for you at greattribulationministries.org. We are here for you because we want you to receive this free gift from Jesus Christ, this free salvation gift, which is eternal. And he will change you. You don't worry about the things that you do. You ask God to change you. You're listening to somebody whose life was completely changed by a simple prayer, but it was a consistent prayer. And I still pray it every day. Even though I have received Jesus Christ, I have received the Holy Spirit, I feel the Spirit of God living through me, and I feel the convictions through me, I still pray every day for more and more from my God to help me through this world. So thank you for listening to tonight's study. Next week we will get into chapter 5, Salvation, an infinite miracle of God. So we have learned about his grace and that it's free and that there's nothing you can do for it and that you just remember the absolute fact, which is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection are sufficient. Then you're going to see how this salvation is a miracle and what that miracle is. And we're going to just walk through this. We're in Chapter 5 of The Awesome Plan of God. If you're going to get your study guide, you can write me also. I'll mail you one. Or you can go to Amazon and get one. It's up to you. I have plenty to give out. So until next week, God willing, we'll be back. Until then, just pray for all of our brothers and sisters and pray for this crazy, chaotic time that we're in right now. We need a lot of prayer for our country. So until then, God bless all of you, and thank you so much for tuning in. Good night.